Welcome to the Killer Frogs. We are back for the 2022 football season has begun, and what a start to the football season in the Sonny Dykes era. We're going to get into that in just a minute, but joining us tonight, we've got TCU former player Nathan Hernandez. How you doing, Nathan?
I'm great. Great. Just great.
He's doing great, folks. We also have TCU Hall of Famer Shannon Brazil. How you doing, Shannon?
What's up, fellas, man? I'm excited, man. It's good times, brother. I'm doing great like Nathan, but, man, I am excited about this season. It's go time.
I am too. Hey, before we begin, Shannon, I'm going to ambush you on this because we had a couple of questions come in over the podcast email, and they were saying, why do you keep pronouncing his name wrong?
Me? That's what they say?
No, me. Why do I keep pronouncing your name wrong?
Here's the thing. You're not, because there's so much story behind it. We won't get into that, but there's a Brazel from South Texas, which is my uncle who played for the Cowboys. So then now Tim Brazel. Up here north, we say Brazil, and I now the history of my name, it is Brazel, but since I was a little kid, my dad and everybody else pronounced it Brazil. So now I don't argue the fact. If you call me Brazel, I answer. If you call me Brazil, I answer. I do not make a fuss out of it. But so to me, you're not pronouncing my name wrong, which however you decide to do it, because to me, neither one is wrong, brother.
Well, thank you for putting that to bed. So hopefully we won't get any more emails this season.
I say the same thing. My mom used to call me my brother's name. She called me the dog's name. She called me every name possible. So I answered everything.
Yeah, you just answer, bro.
Yeah, sounds like you need to have a conversation with your mom later. But let's go ahead and get started with this. So the Sonny Dykes era has begun at TCU, and what a way to kick this off. TCU goes into Colorado at Folsom Field. It was the 99th season at Folsom Field. It's pretty historic. After the Buffalo, or is it a Bison? Doesn't really matter. After that gets going, the game begins a little rough for the Frogs, but in the end, TCU ends up winning 38-13. And I have to admit, that first half was a little sketchy, but overall, I felt really good about this game. But let's dive into this. Shannon, you're a defensive guy. Defense has been a big question mark with this team the last couple of seasons. In fact, a lot of people, if you go on the board over the last couple of weeks, a lot of people are pointing to the lackluster defense that Gary Patterson had as being one of the mitigating factors in him eventually leaving the program. How did you feel about what you saw out of the defense on Friday?
Well, for me, it was several things that as a defensive player that shares the history of TCU's defense, early history, you know, makes me feel old. But, you know, like I said, back in the day, you've been number, you know, you work your way up to when you finish your senior year, your defense is number one in the country. And then you hold your hat off the Patterson system and what TCU is really known for. So it was really disheartening over the years when our defensive play went there. So when I went to Saturday looking for, and then you have a new defense. So now I'm like, okay, you guys always see the 4-2-5 is where it's at for me. I run a 4-2-5 with my peewee kids. That's what I know. That's what I understand. It's a solid defense that covers run, pass, you know, everything, right? And so when you come in with a 3-4 or 3-3, whatever up front, I'm like, whoa, you got to have some. First of all, you got to have three beasts up front to who you feel they're going to double team, right? And then you got to have linebackers. And when you start taking away D linemen from the line and put more linebackers in, you're saying you have stud linebackers. That's what it is. If you look up, you know, 3-4, 3, whatever, it says, okay, you have some solid linebackers. And with that being said, man, I was impressed. I didn't know. I saw that fella up front, Dominique, I believe the freshman who's 17 years old. My God, what a beast. You're going to have to double team him. So now, mm-hmm. It's going to be a linebacker's game with us and coming off the edge. And I start seeing things like, okay, man, I'm good. Then that beast, the Alpha, the Omega, whatever you want to call. He's not God, but I tell you what, if he wants to be called the Alpha of the defense, call him the Alpha of the defense. That number 13, I believe, is D, Winners. My God, that young man can play. And I, as a linebacker, seeing linebackers, that's what we had. That's our formula. You got to have somebody coming off the edge. You damn sure got to have a linebacker to run typically your TCU defense, right? I saw that. And then we got better on the corner. On the other side, opposite of Tomlinson, we got better and solid up over there. So for me, coming out of that game, I said, man, our defense is solid across the board. If we can stay healthy, we're going to be something, forced to be reckoned with. And I love what I saw. We were fast. I mean, we were fast. Again, something else we needed to get back to. Yep. And so, man, I came out of that thing, man, just fired up about our defense. Now we just got to keep it going. If we can stay healthy, I feel like, in the Big 12, what I saw around the league, we're going to be good, man. I know it's so early, and I hate to be that guy, you know, early. I'm not saying we're going to win the Big 12 right now. Anything like that, guys, I get it. I'm a Cowboy fan. I'm not saying we're going to win the Super Bowl either. But what I'm saying is, I like what I saw. And if we can keep that same energy and get better, because we can get better. Y'all, first half, we can get better, a lot better. And I'm like, man, we're going to be scary if we can get a lot better. That's going to be scary to see.
Yeah. You mentioned you want to be a little pessimistic because it's the first game, right? But we go back and we kind of revisit the last several seasons, the first couple of games, we were giving up massive big plays, massive amount of points to teams that, yeah, granted, it's Colorado and they've had their problems, and they're certainly not going to be picked to finish in the top half of the Pac-12. But overall, when you take a look at some of the other competition that we started the seasons with over the last couple of years, this defense gave up a whole lot more and
for sure. A
lot of big plays. And I think that in and of itself was encouraging to see that this defense turned that around. Not only that, Nathan, I want to get your opinion on this. Was it just me, or did you see a little thing called tackling on Friday?
So my biggest thing, the thing that got me excited, and you can ask my roommate, Zeller, my biggest thing about what took me back to make me be confident in this defense is we had hats on bodies. Like, we had white jerseys everywhere on the field. Every year in the last few years, we've had like one or two guys, like, you know, Wallow or Travis, someone like flying around, getting like somebody's flying. But now we had everybody swarming the football. Like, when they running back got the ball, when they made a pass or whatever it was, it wasn't more than like 2 seconds until there were at least five jerseys around him. Like, people were flying around. And that's the biggest thing that got me excited. Like, I love seeing that. That is why I was so disheartened with this defense for so long, was people just didn't look like they wanted to be out there. They didn't look hungry for the football. They looked hungry that last night, or not Friday night. But yeah, they were making tackles, the tackles that we needed to have been making in the last few years, for sure.
They used to say, if you want to be seen or heard of, especially on the televised game, get your number put on TV. And on defense, everybody got their number. To your point, swarming the ball, everybody's number was on TV. You know what I mean? There was no loss. The energy was there. And I'm talking about four quarters. I believe somebody texted early on the tackle. First half, we missed some few tackles. That's jitters. That's normal, but it picked up quick. Because usually our history says when we start missing tackles, we started missing more tackles throughout the game. This game, we summed that up pretty quick, and we missed a few tackles that we could have them pin, and then we started rallying and started wrapping those folk up and started making tackles. I think the jitters settled, and we just started playing solid football. So that's another thing I was looking at. As you guys know, missed tackles is our – oh, God. That's what kills us. That's what's been killing us.
Yeah, and I know that Dykes mentioned that he wants to play this kind of bend don't break kind of defense, which is nice.
Absolutely.
And yeah.
Rubber band.
I know. Well, and you know
that's
that first half,
you
know, a lot of Frog fans are like, oh man, they are running up and down the field on the Frog defense. But if you really kind of take a look at it as a defensive player, Shannon, looks are deceiving. That really was a really solid defensive effort in the first half from the Frogs.
I'll always take 3 points over 7 points.
Yeah, absolutely. like between the – I'll take whatever happens between the 20s. I'm cool with that. As long as you can get in the red zone and shut people out. So with that being said, yeah, they move the ball a little bit. They're supposed to. Their football team, too. They train. They went to tour days. They've been tracked. They've done their thing, too. But as the game goes on and you start to settle down and you start just kind of holding your responsibilities and everybody says, okay – here we go, and you start getting coached up a little bit, especially after halftime, you know, you readjust, that's going to get better, which it did. So I expected that. Actually, I expected a little bit worse defensive play, given our history, okay? And that was not the case. That's why I got excited, because I'm like, oh, okay, you know, we got better. We didn't get worse. We got better, and that's all you could ask for. So I wasn't too worried about that. I mean, that's just football. You got to let the football game calm down. guys, we're still in college. Watch the pros this when they kick off. You're going to see the same thing. But as things start selling down, you're going to see solid football play.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about it is, like, we're in the Big 12. Like, there's going to be great offenses. No matter who we're playing, they're going to be able to put up points, except maybe Kansas. But they're going to be able to put up points. Like, we're going to have to live with points every now and then. But the bend don't break mentality is just so much better of, like, okay, you know what? That's fine. We gave up a play. We gave up this, whatever. They got a big run. All right, buckle up. Let's stop them. They're not going to do it again. Not on this drive, at least. Yeah.
Short memory.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's kind of epitomized in that opening drive by Colorado, being able to stop them on fourth and short. That was a huge momentum shift right at the very beginning of the game. And I know Colorado fans are questioning the logic behind trying to do that. And I get it. I mean, you're trying to, you know, get the momentum going on your side, but especially set the tone, and especially given the TCU defense. And guys, most of these guys on this defense played the last 2 years. So knowing the fact, seeing the tape the last couple of years, and you know you're going to think you're going to go ahead and just punch them right in the face. To have this defense come out and get that early on, that was huge for them. That was a big win for them. And it kind of set the tone, the defensive tone for the rest of the game. It was like, look, we're going to let you get a couple yards here and there, but you know what? We're going to draw a line here on the field. No further. That's it. And yeah, outside of that one touchdown late in the fourth quarter, the defense pretty much played that way the entire game, and it was good to see. And to your point, Shannon, talking about getting your number called on TV, D. Winters had his number called a lot. I think one of my favorite comments this weekend was from our friend Clint Foster, who's been on the podcast. In his wrap-up on YouTube, he made a joke, you know, D. Winters, more like A-plus Winters. He was all over the field on Friday.
Man, I'm excited to see this young man for the rest of the year. I pray that he stays healthy. It's just good when you can see linebacker play from us early on, and we know who and we get excited because, you know, again, with Wallow, I said it early on. I saw his attributes when he moved from safety to linebacker, and I'm like, this guy can go. Early on, I'm like, this guy can play. If he puts some weight on and stay healthy, and I think everybody could see it whatever time it hit them. I saw it very early on.
It was that second Alamo Bowl.
Yeah, and I saw it. I'm like, this guy's going to be – he's going to go to the next level. I said it, but we just didn't have enough dogs back then. But with this alpha man, I guess that's what the defensive coordinator said he wants to be called. He's going to be the alpha dog of the defense. So I'm going to call him that. Hey, until he proves me wrong, that's what he wants to be called. He earns my respect after one game to call him that. If he continues to play like that and the defense rallies around his energy, because that guy had high-tempo energy all game. Mm-hmm. And that's what you can ask for. His motor did not shut off, and you love that. And as a defensive player whose Danner's not having a good game, you feed off that. So that young man, I'm going to have my eye on him all season long.
That's got to be exciting for you, Shannon.
I'm telling, if you can't tell, I'm super excited about that guy.
You super are certainly excited. Pumped up. And it's great. And the linebacker position played excellent on Friday. The line, and I realized the line didn't get as much pressure on the quarterback, but I have to think that they were kind of playing spy on him because he could run. He's got some wheels. And I think they did a really good job of playing containment and then bringing every now and then they brought some pressure from the outside. And we were told that. We were told that there was going to be some more blitz packages. I was expecting more blitz packages based on what they had said in the previous couple of weeks. But overall, I was really happy with the play. The corners, I mean, heck, Hodges Tomlinson got beat. That was probably the worst play on a cornerback. Was actually our best cornerback gave up that particular play. And it wasn't bad coverage. It was just a well-caught ball. But I mean, overall, I think this team is kind of poised on the defensive side to do very well this season. Again, it is just one game, like you said, Shannon, but we'll see. And Tarleton next week, while they are a very respectable team, I don't know how much we're going to be able to take away from that particular game as well. Once we actually start to see things at SMU, I think the picture will become a little bit clearer on that side of the ball. But let's for a moment, before we move on to offense, let's switch gears and talk about special teams, because the tone of the season was set on the opening kickoff with a face mask. I mean, I know everybody in my house immediately just kind of, you know, things kind of got flown up in the air. We're like, great, here we go again. But immediately, right after that, Davis takes a punt to the house. And I tell you what, from that point on, special teams, which I think a lot of Frog fans had a major question mark going into the season, I wasn't worried at all from that point on.
I will start by saying I actually was kind of happy with the face mask. Like, I know it's a penalty. It's bad. We all start the season getting a lot of penalties. But showed that, to me, that they got a little fight in them. Like, you come out, first kickoff, whatever, and they're already trying to get after people. Like, it's not like a bad penalty where it's like, oh, he was holding or something like that. It was, hey, you know what? He's trying to get after it. Yeah, he got caught. He got flipped and caught the face mask, whatever. But it showed a little enthusiasm by a player. So that's what we've been missing, honestly. Like, it's just they haven't had any fight in them lately. So it was good. I was honestly kind of happy with it. Like, I was like, all right, you know what? I'll take that.
Yeah. I totally hear that.
How ironic for the last 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, that Turpin goes to the NFL. Well deserved, guys. And I'm going to say this because I feel like we don't give guys, you know, sometimes we beat up guys for making mistakes and we don't give them their flowers when we need to. You know, this is America. This is life. People deserve second chance, sometimes three chances to get it right. But the guy went the hard route. Five different leagues, whatever, the freaking outside league, this league, that leagues I never heard of, to make it to a point, keep his nose clean, go and he runs, you know, two freaking special team returns back in the league, basically solidifies his, you know, his contract the very next week. And then when we kick off, the guy who is going to break his record, because he's going to break his record,
yes,
he has a great game right off the bat. So it just shows you we put in our players, special team players, those fast guys, you know, we put them on the next level. But also, you know, we've been known, if you go back to Terrence Dunbar all the way through, we've always had some special guys. If we can, all the way through, we've had some more than not special fast guys. If we can just be perfect on one play, that it could change the dynamics of our season. Well, Mr. Darby, he did that for me. Watching special team, I'm like, well, this guy can go. I'm like, if you just give him a chance, if he can catch the ball, feel it, and you don't make a, you know, stupid holding penalty, don't try to do more than you're supposed to, he's going to be that guy in those tough games for us this year that's going to change the game for us. We're going to need that type of play in the Big 12. We just are. We're going to need him to be the leading returner in the Big 12 for us, I feel, to get to the next level. We're going to have to score points on special teams. That guy's special, man. His heart, I mean, that little big man is special. And I've seen him around. I've seen him. I know his heart. He spoke at FCA. I'm on the board with TGFCA, and I've seen him speak. And so I got to know him from that standpoint. I didn't really know him much. I know he's done well as a football player. But, man, after Saturday, or when they played last Saturday, was it Friday? I'm sorry.
Friday.
Whatever day it was. Man, that guy's special. And when I tell you, when he hit his heart, and again, that's something you feed up on. You know, if we're not playing good football at some point in the season, and this guy, and it's close, and we need a big play, and this guy can give us that spark, which we know he can, it's a game changer. So I don't, you know, just how many guys like that are in the Big 12? I don't know. What? I didn't see any this weekend. I didn't see any like that. So, again, special guy. And if we can win the special team games, I'm telling you guys, we have a lot to look forward to. Again, let me back up and quit being so excited about one game. I get it, because I know how people are going. They're gonna come after it. It's one game. I get it, but it's about what you've seen in one game with a new coaching staff and with the years of play that we've had, and we hadn't seen these type of things for a while, and we've seen them now after what a coaching change. And so, yeah, I have a lot to be excited about. All Frog fans should be.
Absolutely. I'll say this. We've always had, and I was talking about this the other day, like TCU, we always have someone that's a great returner. Like, go back 8 years, whatever, we've had a good returner. It is what it is. And if you go to every season, there's at least one game where special teams has determined whether we've won or lost. You know, that Oklahoma game, 2014, we had a kick return for a touchdown. By BJ, Kansas. Yeah. I think that same year, Kansas. We were losing, and Cam took the punt return back for a touchdown, and we won the game. Terp has taken back stuff for us. You know, Jalen took a couple back for us, but they changed
Sky
games,
Dawson,
they changed momentum.
Go back far enough.
Yeah, that's what I was going to go.
Yeah, don't forget about him.
Gonna, Well, but on the same thing with Sky, you know, you look at the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl. You drop a punt, lose a game. Determine a game more times than not, like at least once in a season. And so that's why, like, you know, like when it comes to special teams, I'm usually pretty okay with TCU. Like, we've always been able to find good returners, someone quick, shifty, that can get back for us. So that got me excited to see that we still have that.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Shannon. Davis is definitely on track to break Turpin's record by the end of the season. I don't think there's any question about that. Unless the rest of the Big 12 just takes a look at the tape and goes, we ain't punting to him. We're just going to play out of bounds the entire time. And, boy, what a frustrating way to do that. And there was a second punt return. I can't remember what quarter it was in on Friday where he was just a shoestring tackle away from getting probably another 30, 40, if not breaking another one. He's a special guy, and I can't wait to see what he does for the rest of the season. The rest of the special teams, I mean, shoot, we had Sandy looked fantastic with his punting. Nothing wrong there. Really nice, high, really good hang time on his punts. Pinned them back several times. Had one on the 1 yard line. And it was really good to hear that, you know, he's donating money every time he pins inside the 20. Man, I want to know how we can all get in on this as fans. You know, how can we all, you know, every time Sandy
for sure
puts one on there, how can we as Frog fans help donate $20 as well? I mean, imagine what a story that would be this season. An encouragement to that young man. I mean, he has been a leader this year. So we're going to try to reach out to him and see what we can do about on that front. And if we find out, we'll let you guys know maybe next week. Of course, we added a field goal, but I mean, overall, special teams look solid. But let's move on to offense because there's a lot of good and there's a couple of bad, but we do have an update on that today. And of course, Chandler Morris being the talk of the town, coming out as the starter over Max Duggan. And, you know, a lot of Frog fans were excited to see what Morris could do, but he had a little bit of a shaky start. Shannon, what did you see?
Listen. There's no, first of all, I like the pros of it all. I like what we saw out of all three quarterbacks. Starting with the starting quarterback, just went blank on his name. You said Jalen, what's his name? I'm sorry. Morris. Mr. Morris. Listen, he had a shaky start, but it started picking up. Okay, it started picking up, and because of the way we played and we won the game, it worked out, right? You can't complain. It worked out because now you get to see what he could do. I had no idea. I was waiting like everybody else. That's why I checked. I posted my social media. Three quarterbacks check because we all got to see what every last one of them can do. Let's say Duggan starts. Well, is there any guarantee he's make? Come, you know, go 1-3, come, you know, two series. We don't know. He could have started off, so then we'd be having that conversation. The bottom line is I like what I saw out of each quarterback. Now, the negative thing to me is we've got to make a decision because I don't like that whole – I just don't like – listen, go with the quarterback and roll with it. Like, whoever that's going to be so you can develop that deep chemistry.
Yeah, don't do it by quarterbacks by committee.
Yeah, don't. Let's not do that because at the end of the day, receivers like to know what they have. Quarterbacks like to know what they have. And so, you know, you don't want to think about that stuff by rotating quarterbacks because when you work through the, you know, the practice, you don't get so many snaps during the week. I mean, it's a short week if you really think about it. So how if you got three quarterbacks, let's just say two, how many reps can you really get in with the ones, right? Like how many solid reps where you can develop that early on Christmas? And I know they've had all offseason and all that, but we're talking game preparation because now things change from team to team. Game plans change from team to team. So, therefore, it's just like we have to develop. If it's going to be him, it's going to be him. I'm cool with it because I like what I saw enough of. We know what Duggan can do. And I'm Duggan. I'm sorry. I'm bad with names like everybody else. That's why I don't care about my last name. But anyway, we know what he can do. We saw what he can do. He is a spark. And so my thing is I like what I saw. I just feel like, listen, let's not be that team. Let's determine pretty early on these next 2-3 weeks, being 2 weeks now, who our quarterback's going to be, our starter. So we know who we're going to roll with. And then we know we have a solid backup. We know that. But I just think that's what we need to determine on offense. Now, again, we still didn't get a lot of our offensive weapons got maybe one or two targets. We still played solid. I like what I saw on offense. I'd like to see the run game develop just a little bit more. I think once you determine that, and now your guys on the outside can get more balls thrown to them. We just need to mix up a little bit more. But I'm not. Listen, I like the first week of offense. I'm not discouraged any which way. Did we start off slow? Yeah. Did we pick it up? Yes. It was the same way across the board for the whole team. So I'm good with that. I'm glad our quarterback. I thought we didn't know what to expect of his injury, but I think he's going to miss one game, maybe two, and he'll be back. So you know we're going to be all right.
Yeah. The injury report that came out today was that it was a sprain. So yeah. They're looking at 1, maybe 2 weeks out, which, you know, Nathan, you hate to see a guy get injured, and we did lose two frogs on this game on Friday, but, you know, seeing that dejected look on his face really kind of sunk my heart as he was sitting on the sideline and being consoled by his teammates. But, you know, overall, I mean, Nathan, given, you know, your work with the offense, what did you see out of Morris? Are you kind of happy? Are you okay with chalking this up as just being, you know, a little bit of nerves? Or are you possibly in the camp of maybe wanting to see Max kind of take the helm from here on out?
So the way the game started out, I will admit I was kind of on that same boat of like, oh, here we go again. Like, we tend to make things difficult when they shouldn't be difficult. You know, we get quarterbacks overthrowing balls in the dirt when they need to be completed or whatever it is, drop balls. But, I do think that it was in this game, kind of first game, jitters a little bit. Like Chandler, he was throwing a little hot, like more than I would be happy with. Like, you got to learn to put touch on the ball. Like, that's my biggest thing as a quarterback, like put touch on the ball. Make it the best pass is a catchable pass. And, you know, early on it looked like, you know, he was slinging it a little too hard, but, you know, he's still technically fighting for a spot. That's why I also don't like the quarterback by committee thing, because one, you have doubt in the quarterback's mind. They don't perform relaxed. They're on edge. You know, oh, if this could be my last drive, I need to make up for it or whatever it is. Yeah. As a receiver, it's hard to get used to a quarterback, like especially if they're right-handed versus left-handed. Like, they throw at different paces. Yeah. It's like if you're a quarterback and you have a different center come in, they snap differently. Like, it's hard to get used to on the spot, like right away. As a quarterback, you always take like, you know, a handful of snaps before the drive from your corner or from your center, if they're a new center, just so you can get used to their rhythm and their pacing and everything. So I don't like the quarterback by committee thing. I think you need to stick with the groove, you know, stay with it, kind of figure it out, let it go. So I think that was might have been in Chandler's head a little bit, you know, and kind of making him a little more anxious than he should have been. I think he's a great passer. We've seen that. We've seen him, you know, be able to run the football, throw the football. I think he can get it done for us. Like, I don't doubt that. I would love to see him continue to be our starter. I love Max too, don't get me wrong, but I think that he's more of a bulldozer for me. Right. I think he's kind of that running, that quarterback that comes in that almost like, you know, you have a change of pace back. I think Max is a change of pace quarterback. Like, he comes in goal line or like short downage so that we have another basically running back at a quarterback. But I love Duggan. He's a competitor. He's a great, I think he's a great leader. So that people can rally behind him, but I do want to see Chandler kind of get that nod, and start to see him develop and get time to develop, because it takes time. Like, no one comes in like Trayvon. It wasn't until his junior year that we started having that phenomenal season.
Yeah.
Like, they
his
moved
first
him around.
Year in, man, everybody didn't want him.
Yeah,
man.
That his like, sophomore year, right. it was him and Paul Hall.
Yeah.
It was him and Paul Hall. Trayvon would come in the second half and do well, but then as soon as he got the full game, you know, he didn't do so well. So it takes time to get that position down.
Yeah, if I remember right, I think that was against Kansas State when he got the start. And it was a night game, and it was a terrible game.
Yeah. Paul broke his forearm against Southeastern Louisiana. Mm-hmm. I remember that one. But I will say Chandler and Duggan are great. I'm excited for freaking Jackson. Like, he's my quarterback going forward. Like I want him to take time, like, and stay, like, but the stuff that I saw him doing can't, like, and it comes down to he has touch. Like, he throws the ball with touch. Like, he makes catchable balls. He just has almost what we last saw with Trayvon. I'm not going to put that on him because that's early and all that stuff, but he has that kind of playmaker ability.
So, you know, I was excited. It's interesting that's that awesome you said that, though. Yeah, and, yeah. And Sam Jackson.
I like him.
I mean, I'll just sum it up in one word. Wow. I mean, he's electric. But how smart do you think it was of the coaching staff not to put him in there and try to force a pass? Just do something with your legs. I think that's a smart move.
Let him be him.
Right.
Let him be him. Yeah. No, go ahead, Nate.
No, I was going to say, and I feel like they, like in recent years, not so much this year because, you know, it's first game and they were able to do a lot of stuff. But I think in the recent years, that's what we've done to Duggan. We've done that to Chandler. We've kind of forced them to play roles that they're not always suited for. And so I think if you go out there and let the quarterback just be the quarterback, then it works out ultimately because they can be relaxed, like I said.
Yeah.
So that's what I was saying. So I like that Sam kid.
Man, listen, that kid is special. When I saw that, I said, "Woo!" I said, "We got something. We got a guy with some legs, and he get around the corner and he scored. You know, he scored one, and I didn't know much about it. And so now, like, listen, guys, we have a. I'm not worried at that position right now. We have some guys. I think I ought to back up Nate. Chemistry time. You got it. Whatever. It's going to be two. It's going to be two. It's going to be all three. Do you do packages for them to where you know exactly, everybody knows exactly when these guys are coming in because you scripted during the week to week. It's two guys, it's three guys, whatever it is. But you got to assemble that. You got to make that known. It can't be this. We're just going to rotate three quarterbacks and what happens because, again, you have to have some type of chemistry and time and all that kind of stuff. But I'm going to tell you what, the Jackson kick is, oh, I was like, whoa, this guy, because listen, anytime you got legs at a quarterback position and you can throw, come on now. I don't care who you are. Anytime you got legs, like Duggan's a bruiser, this guy can hit the corner and go. You know what I mean? Or he can hit a seam and go. Duggan can hit a seam if it's there and get a hand on him and bring him down. This guy hit a seam. He's a running back. And so I was like, okay, I don't know much about him, but I'm looking forward to seeing him get some more snaps.
Yeah, wait till you see his arm.
Yeah.
I'll tell you. If you saw what a lot of us saw during camp and just hearing what the coaches have to say about this young man, I mean, he is quite literally, I think, the future of TCU at quarterback. So it's going to be exciting to see these three guys kind of still. I agree with you guys. I don't think we need to do the quarterback by committee deal. And it would be nice to see what Morris can do when he comes back and from this injury. I definitely at this point, it looks like it's going to be Max, and we'll probably see Jackson pretty heavily, probably in the second half of Tarleton, unless wheels come off for some weird reason. But it'll be interesting to see how these guys kind of develop throughout the season. And, you know, Jackson's got, what, still five games under his red shirt to be able to kind of contribute. So we'll probably see him a little bit on Saturday and then probably save him a little bit for some time during the Big 12 if we need him. But it's going to be interesting. He's special. He is definitely special.
Yes, sir. Yes,
and
sir.
Talk about special and being stacked three deep running back. Oh, my gosh. I mean, between Miller, DeMarcado, Bailey, I mean, all three of those guys bring something different. And let me just say this. I mean, we could break down the running back position. Let me just say one thing that I was really excited to see that we haven't seen probably in about 7 or 8 years at TCU, and that is a set with two running backs behind the quarterback who could also run, creating a triple threat. I mean, we've been asking for something like this for a while, and seeing that set not just once as some sort of like crazy wild frog thing down at the end zone, but several times throughout the game, that created all sorts of matchup problems for Colorado. They had no idea who to cover, what gap to hit. That was electric, and I saw in several times either Miller or DeMarcado or even Max was able to make something out of that with a read. It was that's great, and that bodes very well for the future of this offense if we can get those guys on the field and get them touches.
Yeah, we have always, and I say this same thing as I said with special teams, I feel like we've always had a good job of having a solid group of running backs.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you go back 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 8 years, we've had three running backs that can all be starters, but yeah, you know, obviously they can all be starters, but they all have the potential to be starters. And so it's good to see it. You know, like I love seeing, you know, we have our running backs again. We have a group of running backs that are great, but I got to make sure that they're going to use it because we've always had it and we haven't always used it. And, you know, they did a good job this game. I liked it. I liked seeing that we were running the football and establishing early, you know, hey, this can be a running team if it needs to be, but you got to stick with it. You can't get to, you know, third and two and whatever it is down the road and we start throwing the football. Like if you have them, use them. Like we had Chaywo for that whole time and we barely used him.
Yep. No, I agree with you. I agree with that. That's called an insurance policy. That's one of those that would you like extra insurance on your luggage type of deal, right? That's one of those situations where it's like it's a beautiful and that's also a situation where out as we said about the quarterback position, I say the opposite from the running back position. Because those guys, it's between them and the quarterback. It's more of a blocking flash, just handing the ball off. You don't have to really have that type of quote unquote chemistry between a receiver and a quarterback versus whoever's in the quarterback and who's ever in at quarterback and a running back. That's totally different. If we can use all three of those guys, that's going to be a beauty because usually our history says with running backs when we're deep, they all do different things. And whatever they do well, whether it's running, slashing, pounding, they do it really well. So to have those options at the running back position, that's a positive. You know what I mean? So I love what I saw there. I mean, like I said, I really would love to establish a running offense in order for us to really air it out over the top. We just have to have that balance, right? It's been a while since we saw that. I do believe with the system we're running now, we'll see that. I do believe. I like what I saw with, again, we can go into coaching here in a little bit, but whatever. I like what I saw across the board on how they quote-unquote use people the first week.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, wide receivers didn't get as many targets this game as I think a lot of TCU fans were hoping for. But the things that I did see out of it, you know, first, let me just get this out of the way. I still hate that stupid bubble screen. I'm just going to say that right now. Can't stand it. It worked a couple times. Okay, that was fine. But a couple things that were a huge change as far as wide receivers and in a little bit in the running back position, but blocking. Wide receivers blocked well all game long. That has been the Achilles heel, I think, of that particular unit for a while, other than drops, which, you know, you can kind of blame a little bit on the quarterback play. But overall blocking on the outside, sealing that outside corner, or even when you're doing those silly little bubble screens, getting a block on somebody from the wide receiver position has always kind of been a major problem in this offense. And on Friday, that was not an issue whatsoever. In fact, I saw a lot of good wide receivers that are just running people into the ground. I love seeing that.
We have size at receiver now. Yes. Like we've always had good receivers. Like I'll admit that we've had a lot of speed. That's what TCU has been known for, speed. But now we have, you know, like I was looking at the, I don't remember who tweeted it, but it was like they posted the roster and it said 10 out of the 15 receivers that we have are all, I think, 6'4 and over, 6'2 and over, something like that, like 200 plus pounds. Like we have size. And it's again, I think what we'll see is similar to what like Iowa State did in like 2016, 2017, where they have a great running game, but then they can throw to some big receivers, like, and take advantage of size mismatches. Especially in the end zone. So I think that that's kind of what we'll see going back to the whole running back and seeing if they're going to actually use it. This is the same offense that, you know, when SMU came to TCU and they had that one running back and we could not stop him, they just kept running it right down our throat. So I do believe that they will, if the running game's working, they'll stick with it. But then, you know, they'll take advantage of the, you know, 6'5", we have a 6'7" receiver. You know, Quentin Johnson, like we have size and we need to use it. So throwing it up to those big bodies is going to be helpful, especially with Big 12 corners, because they don't usually tend to be very big.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm excited for this receiving core.
So let's, to your point, Sean, let's break that bubble screen in, because I'm kind of like you. I'm kind of, you know, then you throw in the analytics and all that stuff. Right? So let's break this down real quick. I think that's a week-to-week deal on those screens. Because I'm like, if it's third and two, and you got, you know, third and two, what do the analytics say to get the 2 yards? Is it bubble screen, or is it handoff and let's get 2 yards the old-fashioned way? I would think it's let's hand the ball, let's go straight ahead, and let's get these 2 yards versus a lateral pass, and you got to count on your receivers to make those blocks, right? I mean, it's just, to me, I feel like that's a matchup situation as you call those plays. Now,
it's a numbers
game. To your point, yeah. If you're taller, you're bigger, and you got some shorter corners out there, whatever the case may be that week, maybe that's a high percentage pass for first down. If especially if the defense is stacked in the box. Mm-hmm. And if you reverse that, if you got a good lineman, if we'll see what we develop. Maybe it's inside game. I just believe in the past, we got so used to just calling that play, no matter who we were facing, when it was, whatever the case. I just think, and it didn't work for us. It never worked. I think with the weapons we have on the outside now, I think if you use those, the situation as the bubble screen, the timing of all, who are playing, I think it could work. Again, I'm going to go old school. If it's 3rd and 2, whatever you need, I'm running it up the middle. I'm going to take my chances up the middle, body to body, and let the running back kind of pound, ground and pound, and do it that way. It's just me, because it's just, to me, it's more risk throwing it. The DN could come right up the field right now. Good teams watch film, right? We watch film. You see, okay, hey, DN, this is going to be a bubble screen, and you see it, and you look. It's just too much more risk to me versus you knowing that I'm going to run the ball. And now, okay, you know what, well, let's – good on good, let's win this battle. Who's going to win the battle? That's just me. I'm just old school with it. So I'm not a bubble screen guy either. I just think it's going to be more analytics. I mean, okay, what are high percentage chances based off who we're playing in the situation? That's it. But I want to line up the ball with the 3 running backs we have and the linemen that we're supposed to have right now and the offense we're supposed to have. Let's go get the 2 yards straight up the middle.
Yeah. Well, and to your point, I think a lot of the reasons why we ran that over the last several years is because the lack of play on the offensive line.
Right.
And I know if we had WC on tonight, he'd be just waxing poetically about how much better the offensive line played on Friday. And they did. And it was a massive improvement. Probably the most improved group on offense was the offensive line from season to season. And
yeah,
you're right. Those kind of passes in the past was probably the highest percentage that we had because of the offensive line play. I just don't necessarily think with, you know, we have DeMercado and you got Bailey and you got Miller and you've got Max or even Morris back there, especially with Jackson. And now we're even getting tight ends into the game more than once a season.
Which
is nice. I mean, we had a couple targets for tight ends and hopefully that continues throughout the rest of the season. Now you've got all sorts of opportunities to open up on that 3rd and short play. You can have a nice read depending on what the linebacker's doing, dump it off over to the tight end. If you want to hand it off and you can trust that offensive line to go up the middle, hit the hole, that's great. If you want to do you want to fake that, read that, and take it as the quarterback out to around the outside, and you've got blocking wide receivers that can handle that, there's a lot of opportunities here, especially when we get into Big 12 play, that's going to cause a lot of matchup problems that this offense sees. And I think it all boils down to a couple of things on offense. Consistency at quarterback play is number one. It's got to happen. Obviously, lack of injuries, especially to that offensive line.
Yep.
That unit needs time to gel. And once they do, I think they're going to be something special to see.
Yeah.
And number three, these guys continue to be selfless. These guys are fantastic. You got a guy like Johnston out there who's definitely rated at this point. I think what he's projected to go first round, right? Mm-hmm. Next year. There's no doubt about it. And he's not out there yelling and screaming, throw me the ball, throw me the ball. He is, for lack of a better word, pretty chill. He's a team player. These guys all seem, and again, it is just the first game, Shannon. We'll temper our excitement a little bit here. It is the first game, but the feeling that I got from the game, and I posted this and a couple people kind of were like, I don't know if I agree with that. I did not feel at any point in time that TCU did not have control of this game at all.
I can agree with that.
All 4 quarters. And yes, that first half, the defense was moved up and down the field, and they were on the field for 22 minutes. But even for being on the field for 22 minutes, they were still flying to the ball. They were still working. They were not loafing. They were doing exactly what you want to see that defense to do. And sure, they got a little bit of help with the offense in the second half and were able to stay off the field. But overall, this team really feels like they came together in the offseason. This team feels like the chemistry is already there.
Let me throw in a point. You mentioned a heck of a point just then. They were on the field that long. First game in Colorado.
Yeah, the altitude.
Guys, Listen, let me tell the fans. Let me. We played in Colorado before.
Air Force.
The only, and you'll ask anybody from that era, the Colorado. We played Colorado State, and we thought we got there a day early. And I commend the coaching staff because whatever they did to adjust to the altitude, they did a really good job. And I thought back then when we did that, we did a really good job. But at the time, before kickoff. When I say we were so winded, the first quarter, they lined up and they killed us. We've been rotating. It's a coach. If you know anything about the 4-2-5, it's a rotating defense. We rotated. We did everything we could. That is the only game. If you ask LT, if you ask Show, if you ask any guys that play back, that's the only game we lined up and we got our ass kicked from first quarter to fourth quarter. And a lot of that was the altitude. We just couldn't adjust. We could not adjust. We were winded and we're trying. And so, when we started that game, that's one of the things I had in my mind. Like, they mentioned it on TV, and I didn't see that. I saw nobody falter. I saw nobody. We were, and that, I give kudos to the strength and conditioning coach. They mentioned him. We look better. We look faster. We look stronger. We look like a different group of guys versus what we saw playing in that altitude. Guys, it's hard to play in Colorado, especially the first game in that altitude. It's rough. Trust me. I'm saying that from remembrance of what we did, okay, because it was not easy. And I was like, I never want to play in this type of altitude ever again in my life. I didn't have to, besides Air Force, but we handled it by then. We did. And if you think about that game, we still got off to a slow start, and we got it together. We got it together. We ended up winning the game, but it was a rough start. But I'm telling you guys, to see that, to see the offense, the defense, special teams, and that altitude, to your point, Sean, that was awesome to see. Because those drives where we couldn't get them off the field for that period of time could have really changed the swing of the game. And it didn't. And I was like, man, that's huge. That's really huge.
Well, a lot of people, like, they really do underestimate that altitude thing. Like, they think, like, even just – they think that it only applies, you know, playing a sport or doing whatever, you know, football flies further. No, that's going – like, if anybody's ever been to Colorado, I went to Breckenridge last year. Going up the stairs, you get winded. Like, you don't have to be a world-class athlete to be affected by altitude. It's anything you do in that state, like, you get winded. That's just how it is. You get dehydrated faster, all that stuff. So it affects you more than people actually think. Like you said, like, it's a phenomenal thing that they were able to compete like the way they did in a change of altitude that quickly, because they didn't practice very much in Colorado.
Right. I don't know how early they got there, but I mean, how much could they have practiced to adjust? I don't know.
Yeah, not a lot. And to your point, and that was kind of where I was going with it, strength and conditioning, shout out, as far as we'll wrap this up by talking about coaching, they have done a phenomenal job. I mean, talking with several individuals within the program and just hearing how much they have gone back to the kind of the drawing board as far as nutrition, as far as the conditioning program, as far as getting these guys working out in the weight room and doing the things what they would consider to be the right way of doing things. The meal card system that they have put together. I mean, it was a major overhaul in the offseason that not a lot of people were talking about, and it did pay dividends, because playing at an altitude, a lot of people are saying, well, it's just like going down to Texas for a team up north and playing in the heat. No, it's not. It is not like that at all. I guarantee a lot of those guys aren't really that phased anymore coming down to Amon Carter Stadium and playing in that heat. There may be a few, but not many. That altitude affects 100% of your team. That's the huge difference. And you're right. You get to a point, and later on in that game, where those guys could have been dropping like flies and running over and getting oxygen, I didn't see any of that. They handled it like they were from Colorado.
Yes, you can simulate weather, right? So if you have a dome, you can go in, play in there, cut off the AC, whatever. You can do that. You can practice in the rain when it's going, or play with wet balls and all, practice with wet balls and all that. Just to, you can't do that for a team in Texas when it comes to the altitude. How do you do that? You can't do it. So therefore, instantly you go there, and any Colorado team, to me, has the edge on you just for that alone, right? And so for those guys to handle it the way they did, it just really shows you the conditioning that these players were in, the mental state they were in. I'm sure they talked about it all week. I'm sure they adjusted the best they could. But at the end of the day, no excuses. We have to go play a game. We have to win that game. We have to bring home the W by any means necessary. And that's what they did, and that's why I'm proud of.
I think ultimately, and you see offensive, defensive, special teams, conditioning, strength program. They bought into the process. That's the thing for me that, like, it just looks like everybody just kind of bought into the process. So that's why I think we're seeing what we're seeing.
Yeah, I mean, for me, if I were to give a grade all the way around, defense, special teams, offense, even coaching, I'd give everybody an A for that game, for the first one out. You can go down position by position, and the grades may change up or down depending on what you're talking about. But I'd say, on average, I think every phase of the game, including coaching, because we didn't see any boneheaded time management issues, which is nice. And yes, for those of you who didn't get to watch the game on TV, there is a towel girl on the sideline. I know that was a big point on Twitter. Everybody was wanting to see the towel girl. But overall, I think every phase of this game, this team earned an A for the first game of the season. And yes, again, first game. But what do you guys think? You disagree?
Hey, listen, I agree. If you got to listen, if you want to be hard on the first quarter or whatever, okay, B+. But across the board, after that, it's an A. And you have to have room to improve. So if you want to give A-, okay, that's fine. But it's the first game. I get it. I'm hard on people. But you have to understand, if you're a fan, and we're talking straight just TCU versus a whole, even though we did watch, and I'm ready for football, so I watch every game I could watch of the Big 12. And we were last to play, I believe. And so I was like, at first, watching what I was watching the games, I'm like, man, okay, this Oklahoma State's pretty decent. Well, they're more than decent. They're pretty good. This team's blah, blah, blah across the board. I'm like, okay, let's see what TCU has. After that we played, I was like, hey, this is literally going to come down to health, coaching, and who can make adjustments fast. That's what it's going to come down to in the Big 12, based off what I saw first week. And we have, obviously depth, and that's going to, I'll throw that in there as well, the depth. If you can get people in rotation because of health issues, or if you can just rotate and have some guys that could be that second string who could start, but you have to start one. I get all that, right? I just feel very comfortable where we are, given our history. That's all I'm saying. Given the coaching changes, given what we've been through in the last 5-10 years, just not getting over the hump. I think it's a hell of a start. I love the energy. I love the kids responding to the new coach. I love what I saw, I try to be hard on our Frogs because I think we have to be if we want to get to the promised land, which is a national title. We've done everything besides that. We need to get into a playoff, and we need to get in, Big 12, we've done that. Win a Big 12, we've done that. But we need to do that and then get into a playoff, and let's go put our team, our school on a national stage. And so that's the goal. That's the hump that the ceiling Patterson can get past, which is his own doing, right? So now we look forward to seeing what Coach Sonny Dykes can do. And right now, he jumped off to a great start. And I love it. Point blank, period.
Nate?
To be fair, I do think that Coach B should have gotten a couple of different chances at that national title. But
2014.
Yeah, 2014, Rose Bowl, all that stuff. But anyways.
we talked about it.
Yeah, as a whole. As a
Bears.
Whole for the team.
By the way, sorry to interrupt. Did you notice they can't even spell Bears correctly?
Yeah,
we saw that.
If you haven't seen, if you don't know what we're talking about, just go on Twitter and you'll search for it. You'll see.
Baylor does not know how to spell their team. Spell Bears. But so as a whole, I think after, like, at the time of the game and a little after, I was kind of like, I didn't know how to feel. I was like, it was a good game. We won. All right, cool, whatever. But then watching the rest of college football, I started to feel a little bit better because a lot of teams did a lot of things to lose a lot of games. Mm-hmm. And it made me feel better about ourselves because we didn't do some of the stuff that I've seen us doing in the past. There were a lot of games, Cincinnati did everything they could to lose that game. Freaking Florida State, LSU last night. That was great. But yeah, there's a lot of teams that just, they didn't look great. Like, they did a lot of stupid
Virginia
things
Tech.
That you...
All those teams. I'm sitting there watching Clemson, Georgia State. It's a 4-point game. Georgia's in this game.
Yeah.
And freaking Clemson's ranked 4. I just don't think it's going to be the season that everybody thinks with the big dogs. I just think this is going to be the season of the little. Yep.
It's going to be good.
Yeah, for sure. Sorry to cut you off, Nate.
No, you're good. I was just, it's on that point. I was just like, none of these teams ever, aside from, Georgia, Alabama, the teams that obliterated the opponent.
Yeah.
They didn't No other team kind of jumped off the. Yeah, no other team jumped off the page for me. I will admit, Florida's quarterback looked good.
Oh yeah,
he did. I think he'll be in the Heisman talk. That Florida quarterback, he looked good.
Damn it.
Yep.
I know. I was at the casino and I bet money on LSU. I'm sick. I listened to the LSU fans when I think, oh God.
Yeah.
I lost money.
It's okay.
It's all good.
And Sanders out of Oklahoma State, he looks good.
Yep.
He looked really good.
We're gonna play some good talent this year. Feel good about it.
Yep. I agree. It's gonna be interesting. Well, let's just end the night because do score predictions as TCU comes back to Fort Worth for the home opener on Saturday against Tarleton State. And that it's going to be an interesting game. Again, Tarleton State's not a bad team. I mean, we're talking about this might actually be the season of little teams. This is not a team to overlook. But it is a team that I think we all expect TCU to win and hopefully win well. But let's talk about this. Now that TCU is out of the altitude and back to sea level, Nathan, what is your score prediction for Saturday?
You know, in the past, I would be a little iffy just because I would expect it to be like an 11 a.m. game, but it is a 7 o'clock game, so I think that, you know, there'll be plenty awake. And I also do think that we'll be better in 11 o'clock games this year because of practicing at 5 a.m. But for the Tarleton game, I want to say 45-7 TCU.
7 or 17?
7, just 7. They'll get that one random touchdown that we always seem to give up.
Okay. Hopefully not this season. Hopefully this defense can shut somebody out. I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
Shannon, what do you think? Kansas, yeah.
Based off what I saw with our team, I don't know much about Tarleton. I'll do my research, but given that we're probably supposed to have those guys pretty good, I'm going to go 41-10. You know, again, I think we being at home, these guys will be juiced up to be home. Based off what I've seen Saturday, when we can really jump off, we can really go off, you know, when we decide to put it together, I'm going to go 41-10 at the house. And but I think it could get a little ugly, but I'm going to go 41-10.
41-10. Okay. I'm going to say 49-17. And I'm a little torn. I kind of almost want to say 24 because there's still a couple of questions I want to kind of solve on or see solved on defense. But I'm going to stick with 49-17 on this one. Now, Tarleton does have a good quarterback. He can throw the ball, throw it well. They've got a decent ground game. They're going to be a lot faster than some of the other teams that are going to be in that division. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Frogs react. But I think given what we saw with the defense, the speed that we've got on that unit and seeing what we can do with Max, I think our offense is going to be able to do a decent job. That's not to say that Tarleton doesn't have a bad defense. They do have a good defense. They've got a good line. So this will be an interesting test for the Frogs, but I don't think this team is going to be able to stack up with us for four straight quarters. So I expect the floodgates to open up kind of like it was in Colorado in the second half. So we'll see how this goes. So we're all predicting, of course, a Frog win. That'll be an interesting one. Of course, we'll be back again next week to talk about that game. Until then, thank you for joining us on this week's podcast. I want to thank everybody out there who's been listening to us. Of course, you can go to killerfrogs.com and you can sign up for a free account and discuss TCU athletics with the rest of us on the board. And of course, you can visit our fan zone site and just read about what's happening with the Frogs. We have got a great group of writers now working with us through Sports Illustrated. And if you really want to catch up with everything we're doing with the Frogs, go check us out, killerfrogs.com. And of course, we're available on all the major social media channels. And with that, we've come to the end of our podcast and the beginning of a 2022-2023 season. Hopefully, what will be a Big 12 championship season. And like Shannon says, playoff, baby. Let's see how this goes.
Let's get it.
It's going to be a fun one. And we look to see everybody back here again next week. Until then, it's the time we all get the Frogs up and we get to say,
go Frogs.
Go Frogs.